I love the local church. It is such an honor to be here today. And, of course, any time we get to be back in B.C. is great. We're having a crazy snowstorm in Toronto right now, so this is beautiful. And I arrived early this morning and actually did what I often do when I come and preach in churches, and that is I walked around your building and just did a prayer walk around the facility here. And I was really just praying for you. And I stopped a couple of times at some strategic places in your building, and I simply prayed one word over and over again. I prayed, breathe, breathe, breathe. Often I look at the church like that picture in Ezekiel chapter 37. As all the dry bones sort of get assembled, you know, a prophecy is given, and they all stand there, a vast and mighty army. And yet the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel and says, there is yet no life in them. What a stirring statement. They're all arranged, all well organized, all ready to go, but there is yet no life in them. Oh, Ezekiel, pray to the four corners that the winds may come and the breath of God may be breathed upon them. And as the breath of God is breathed upon them, hallelujah, they become animated. And I just look at our churches and I say, oh, breath of God, just breathe upon the North Shore Alliance Church. May the deep places of your soul be revived in Jesus' name. May they be a new work of God's grace. May this church no longer be explainable. Amen? Wouldn't it be great? That people would have to say, what's happening in North Shore? We can't explain it. Hallelujah! The power of God is being unleashed. Lives are being transformed. Boy, even what was happening last night, I just think we ought to do the wave more in the local church. Don't you? I mean, when I heard about 300 people from the community being served and loved in Jesus' name, part of me just wanted to go, yay! You know, we won't do it, but anyway, it might freak you out. But I'm like, yes! These are marvelous and great and passionate opportunities. What I want to take the next few minutes, and Mark has been so gracious, is just to allow me as your president to share my heart. What is the vision? What is it that I'm feeling God speaking into our lives as a family of faith across Canada and around the world? I want to take you to a text found in John chapter 20. It's a post-resurrection text. And beginning in verse 19, we read these very amazing words. It was the evening, that first day of the week, and the disciples are all gathered together, but they are behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. You can imagine them demoralized. The heart and soul, in a sense, has been ripped out of them. That one, Jesus, who they had put all of their hope in, they had watched him been crucified. And now they gather together, and they have nowhere to go. And in that moment, as the doors are locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus appears to them. What a glorious and profound moment. The resurrected Lord enters into the room, and everything changes. Fear-filled disciples, hallelujah, become faith-filled missioners as the power of the living Christ is evident among them. And he speaks into their lives and he says, peace be with you. Ah, and the word of God says, and they were ecstatic. They rejoice. It is the Lord. And again he speaks and he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he took a deep breath and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Oh, Father, we feel your breath in this room. Would you, the resurrected Lord, breathe again on us today? That, Father, in these moments, and they've already been amazing, that we would be more than just caught up in another religious gathering. Oh, God, spare us from that. May this be an opportunity for a fresh encounter with the living Christ, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a fresh move of your grace in this congregation, a fresh and palpable expression of your incredible love, of your mighty power. Dare I would ask for a baptism of fire upon this congregation. And so, God, prepare our hearts. Unsettle us where we need to be unsettled. Make us thirsty where we need to be thirsty. Make our hearts expectant if they become dull and disinterested. Oh, I pray, mighty power of God, revive your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Several years ago, I was with a good friend of mine, and we were at his father-in-law's cottage, very beautiful cottage on a very beautiful lake, and his father-in-law has all of the toys, all of the water toys you can imagine. And so they had a catamaran there, and both my friend and I had never sailed before, but we thought, how difficult can that be, you know? Can't be too difficult. And so we got on this catamaran, and we pushed it out into this beautiful lake, and fortunately there was no wind, so we were completely in control. And we were kind of paddling around, kind of enjoying the moment, and all of a sudden, the weather changed drastically. And the wind came up rather strong, and I remember as the sail on the catamaran billowed and we began to pick up speed, it was quite exhilarating. And then we picked up a little more speed, and then the wind got a little bit more intense, and finally one of the pontoons on the catamaran had actually lifted off the water. And we scrambled to sit on that pontoon, so we were now on one pontoon, cruising through the water, smiling and laughing, until all of a sudden we realized that this huge gust of wind had now created a perilous situation. And in fact, the catamaran flipped into the water, and we were shot off these pontoons into the air. I remember I flew so far that my bum actually hit the mast of the catamaran as it was going under the water. And so there we were now, bobbing around in the water. We finally figured out how to refloat the catamaran. And I remember as we refloated the catamaran, the sail billowed with air, and it began to take off. The only problem was we were not on it. And I still remember as my friend grabbed the tow rope and I grabbed him, and we were being pulled at a rapid pace through that water. It was no longer exhilarating. It had now become terrifying. And I still remember that moment when his eyes were wide and he looked down at me as I was gripping his ankles and said these awkward words you never want to hear your friend say, "You'll have to climb up my body." And sure enough, the only way we could redeem the situation is I had to systematically climb up his body until I was able to get on the catamaran and pull him onto it, and we got things stabilized. I have never forgotten that moment for a variety of reasons, but the most important reason was the power of the pull. The mysterious thing was we couldn't see the wind, but I tell you, we knew it was there. And we knew the effects of that wind as it was pulling us through the water. There's this wonderful text as the Spirit of God comes upon the early church in Acts chapter 2. And we read these words, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house." There was the radical pull of the Holy Spirit that was going to transform things forever in the church. That those who had become shy all of a sudden became bold. There was dramatic healings. The power of God was being unleashed. Peter stood up and preached, and hallelujah, 3,000 came to know Christ. He preached in Jerusalem, the very place that they had crucified Jesus. And what did he preach? "This one who you crucified is now raised from the dead." Hallelujah. The power of the pull. Our longing in the Christian and Missionary Alliance is that we would be a movement of churches transformed by Christ, transforming Canada and the world. People often ask me the question, are we a movement yet? Or even how would you define a movement? And I say that movements are almost impossible to define. But when you're in one, you cannot deny it. Because what you are feeling in a movement is the power of the pull. What I'm feeling in the Christian Missionary Alliance is the power of the tug. I think it's starting. As I am beginning to visit churches right across Canada, I am seeing a holy discontent in our people. People are not satisfied with the status quo anymore. People are actually longing for more. They believe that the Canadian dream is no longer sufficient for their souls. Amen? That just simply getting a good job, having a house, raising a family, preparing for your retirement, that is not the call of God upon the church. The call of God is to radically give our very lives for the cause of Christ. And so I'm a man on a mission, unapologetically so, believing that God is not finished with the Christian Missionary Alliance, believing that God wants to bring a new anointing of His Spirit upon our family of churches. Because from the very beginning, we were a movement that was birthed out of the power of the pull. A.B. Simpson was an incredible young man. He was born in Prince Edward Island, Cavendish. And he became the pastor of the second largest Presbyterian church in Hamilton, Ontario. He was in his early 20s. He left there to go to Louisville, Kentucky. And it was at the end of the Civil War. Louisville was divided north and south. There was hostility in the homes, brokenness in the church. The community was ravaged. And there, this young Canadian boy believed that God wanted to bring revival. He got together with the other clergy and they began to pray for the power of God to be unleashed in Louisville, Kentucky. Historians tell us that the power of God descended on Louisville, Kentucky like a white hot heat. Isn't that a great picture? People came to know Christ by the hundreds. Prayer meetings went on into the wee hours of the morning. Churches became revived. But for the Christian Missionary Alliance, something radical happened in the heart of this young Presbyterian pastor. He knew what it was to be gloriously saved by the power of Jesus Christ. But he never entered into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And it was there in Louisville, Kentucky, that he realized he could not live the victorious Christian life in his own strength and in his own power. It would only be as he died to himself and received the fullness of the Holy Spirit that he would be empowered for the very ministry and very calling that God had put upon his heart. He said that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can no longer live for yourself. Isn't that great? Friends, if we want to put a death nail in consumerism that is gutting the heart and soul of the evangelical church in North America, it is through an unapologetically proclamation of the deeper life. Folks, it is as we die to ourselves and as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we no longer want to live for ourselves. This is powerful. We actually want to give our lives away in sacrifice and service, the same way that Jesus gave his life away. He began to dream of a movement that would reach to the uttermost parts of the world. He believed if we could get a gospel witness in the uttermost parts of the world, hallelujah, we could bring back the King. And so he left Louisville, Kentucky, and he went to New York City. New York City being a port city, he believed that he could launch something that would be absolutely amazing in terms of reaching the lost in the most difficult places of the world. And there he began as the pastor of 13th Street Presbyterian Church. Well, they weren't ready for A.B. Simpson, and A.B. Simpson wasn't ready for them. He wrote in his diary these words. They wanted a nice pastor who'd preach wonderful sermons and make them very comfortable. He said he wanted to fill the church with publicans and sinners. A little bit of a miss. And on his days off, he'd actually go down to the docks and through an interpreter would preach to the Italian immigrants that were coming in to New York City. And they were gloriously getting saved. And then he tried to bring them into 13th Street Presbyterian Church. Let me just say, his vision for the world was a little larger than theirs was. And so after only 2 years of ministry, he resigned. He put an ad in the New York paper that simply said this: if you've got a vision to reach the world, come and meet with me. 7 people came to meet with A.B. Simpson in a dusty, dingy dance hall in the middle of New York City. And there, as they sat together, he opened the Word of God, and this is what he proclaimed: it is not by might, it is not by power, hallelujah, it is by my Spirit, thus says the Lord. And the power of God descended upon them. I believe they entered into the Trinitarian dance of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on mission to reach our world. And within 10 short years, over 300 young men and women were sent to the uttermost parts of the world, many of them never returning to the shores of North America. They actually believed that Christ was our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King, and they were willing to give their lives for the cause of Christ. And so I dare to ask the radical question of us: is that still us? Is that still who we are? Is that still the fire that is in the Christian Missionary Alliance? I am convinced there is some untamed faith that needs to be unleashed in the Christian Missionary Alliance. I am convinced that the power of the pull is upon us. Simpson declared it this way. He said the mission of the Christian Missionary Alliance is very simple. It is to make the Lord Jesus Christ real, to encourage His people to receive Him in all of His fullness, and to give Him speedily to a lost world. We are called to be a Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused movement. I said to my girls, if I ever get a tattoo, that'll be it. Simpson described it this way. He said, I know no movement that has so glorious a message to people today. A message of salvation. A message of a deeper, fuller, victorious life. A message of Christ sufficient for the body and the temporal needs of Christians. A message of the blessed hope that He is coming. A message that is steeped in the Holy Spirit. That leads men and women to seek the fullness of the Spirit without exaggeration, without fanaticism, without unscripturalness of any kind. I love this next phrase. All that power can be, hallelujah, and yet with the spirit of a sound mind. Isn't that great? By the way, that's us. That's who God has called us to be. I know no message so complete, so tested, and so fitted for these times as that which God has given to us. But here, my friends, is the great danger. The longer you are a movement, the more the gravitational pull of the world around you can draw you away from the daring dynamic of a movement into what I call a really nice ministry. And where all of the energy and all of the vision and all of the dare that used to be used to do the radical things to advance the kingdom of God, now all of that energy gets used to simply keep the organization that we've created running. And we lose our sense of what it means to be on the edge. And if we live in ministry mode too long, we migrate to what I call museum mode, where the testimonies of God at work are powerful and amazing. They're just all 30 years old. And there's nothing recent, nothing real, nothing palpable. And if we stay in museum mode too long, we get to what I call monument mode. And friends, North America has churches that have lost their edge, that are simply dying, and there's no more power. They are anemic. They are simply a monument to that which once was a great movement of God. I want to declare something to you, unapologetically so. The Christian and Missionary Alliance will not become a monument on our watch. Amen? Not today, church. Not today. Why can't today be a new day for us? Why can't today be a day when we become a movement again? When the Holy Spirit tug that is coming, I don't just believe upon the Alliance, it's coming to the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. The tug is coming. Oh, will our hearts be responsive and receptive to what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do? I have asked God to speak to me these days. And when you're a type A person, that kind of freaks you out, because it means you have to really be still. And I went on a journey this summer of quiet with God. And I said, oh, God, give me a message. Give me something that you want to speak into the heart and soul of the family I love. And, you know, I'm going to test this on you today. I've tested it with my wife and the Word, and so far they're okay. So I want to give this to you today. But this is what God poured into my heart. See if it resonates with you. I felt God saying to me, David, this new calling is going to be your most challenging. But I want you to know I am waking up a sleepy denomination. The fire needs to come again. I am not finished with the Christian Missionary Alliance, but there has been drift. Mission without power. Programs without passion. Worship without intimacy. Many are longing for more. Oh, David, tell them there is more. My voice will be heard. My power will be unleashed. My will be accomplished. This is my mission. It cannot be stopped. Folks, that is just resonating in my soul these days. It is resonating deeply in my soul. And it is the longing of my heart for our family of churches to breathe that air. And to feel the breath of God upon us once again. And so what does it look like in practical terms? I am calling our churches to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused churches. And when I say Christ-centered, I simply mean this. That we still actually believe that Jesus Christ is the world's answer. That He is the world's remedy. That He is the world's only hope. And hallelujah, He is the world's Redeemer. And we are not going to apologize for that. We are going to raise up the fullness of Jesus in all of His glory. One of the great tragedies we're discovering in many of our churches is what I see as the loss of our millennials. Our 20-somethings are leaving our churches. And in the recent stats done by Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, they say one of the reasons they're leaving isn't because they're angry. They're just simply bored. And this is what they're bored for. They don't see the power of God in our churches. They're showing up believing that this God who we proclaim, who is absolutely majestic, amazing, and unstoppable, then why don't they see the fullness of that expression in our local churches? And I say maybe it's time they do. That so many of them are pursuing Christ outside of the church. How about we give them Jesus back in the church? How about the riveting reality of the resurrected Christ so animates us, so liberates us, so becomes contagious within us that our kids and our grandkids say, I want some of that. I want to be part of that kind of a movement. When I was district superintendent, I volunteered at a Matsqui medium security prison in Abbotsford where I was living. And I got to admit to you, I was so far out of my comfort zone. I was absolutely terrified. And I remember the first night I was there, I was leading worship. And I was singing some wonderful Christian, you know, song, and these 20, you know, inmates, many of them gang members, really tough individuals, were not really getting into the songs. And so I felt there was a really major disconnect. And then after I finished the first song, I realized how big the disconnect was when one of the gang members leaned at me and said, "Hey, Pastor, do you know anything more badass than that?" I knew there was a major disconnect. I was absolutely horrified at that moment. I mean, what do you do? My voice actually cracked. I remember saying, "I think I do." He's like, "What do you say?" Like, it was sad. After the worship, I knew I had to get up and preach. And I went to the chaplain, Don Edson, and I said, "Don, what do I do?" And he said, "David, just preach Jesus." What a great word. And I remember standing up and preaching the fullness of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. And at the very end, I gave what I thought was a very anemic altar call, and they started to come forward. And I remember the first one forward was Patty. He'd been 26 years in prison. He said, "Oh, Dave, I need Jesus." And in a glorious moment, we were able to have this dynamic, life-changing conversation. I watched him receive Jesus and be filled with the Spirit. It was absolutely incredible. And then all of a sudden, he was in ministry with me. Like, he'd been 2 years old in the Lord. He's like, "Who else can we talk to?" And there's Jamie over there, and Jamie is a convicted murderer. And he said, "Let's go pray for him." So we gather around Jamie. The pastor, the newly converted thief, are now praying for the murderer. That's Jesus on the move. He's unstoppable. May this church be known as a Christ-centered church. That anybody who walks through these doors would be absolutely enveloped in the aroma of the living Christ. That the fullness of His expression in all of His glory is felt here in the North Shore, right here in this church. And when we are Christ-centered, there'll be a craving in our soul to be filled with the Spirit. And I want to ask you, I think many of you maybe have experienced what it means to be filled with the Spirit, but maybe some of you haven't. And you're right now in that place of defeat and discouragement. You're trying to live your Christian life. You're working harder at it. You're trying to be more disciplined. But you're meeting with defeat after defeat after defeat. And your discouragement is so high, you're wondering whether you really want to continue to be a Christian. And see, deep down in your heart, there's this inkling that there must be more than this. And I want to declare to you in Jesus' name, there is more. There is a fullness of the Holy Spirit that wants to transform you from the inside out. But it requires that death to yourself, that giving up, that giving in, that laying down, that radical surrender of your life and saying, "Spirit of the living God, come and fill me. Come and fill me. I want to cry it from the mountaintops to our churches. Be filled with the Spirit, church. It is your only way forward to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God." As they said, not just to have the ocean in the bottle. Hallelujah to have the bottle in the ocean. The fullness of that expression. I was sharing some of these ideas down at the U.S. Council. And after it was all over, I was walking by a set of bleachers. And a young pastor sort of came out from behind the bleachers. He kind of terrified me. It was like scary. And he said, "Hey, can you come here?" He's whispering. I thought it was a drug deal. Like, what's going on? So I went behind the bleachers with him. And he said, "Oh, David, I've been in ministry for years. I don't think I've ever been filled with the Spirit." And I said, "How about now?" He said, "All right." And at that moment, he just drops to his knees. It was amazing. He lifted his hands in the air. And I remember just touching the top of his forehead and I saying, "Brother, just cry out and ask the Spirit of God to fill you." And I heard this pastor with great, great fervor say, "Oh, Spirit of the living God, come and fill me." And then all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord came upon him. And he leapt to his feet and he just did one of these fist pumps in the air. You know, it's just, I kind of got out of there after that. I thought, well, this is going to carry it away. He was experiencing what I think the church is longing for. The radical intervention of the Holy Spirit. And when you are Christ-centered, when you are Spirit-empowered, hallelujah, you will be mission-focused. And I am convinced that God is calling His church to be on mission. Here's my new slogan. See if you like it. On mission. Everyone, everywhere, all the time. Isn't that good? I kind of like it. On mission. Everywhere, everyone, all the time. Simpson said it this way. That every one of us is a missionary. with that same definite call and that same definite commission as those we send overseas. That's a powerful statement. You see, the reality is only about 15% of Canadians will ever attend a local church if they're invited. And so I say to Mark and your team, have a great local church. Go after that 15%. Have dynamic ministry, incredible preaching. But North Shore Alliance Church, if that's all you do, you're only going to reach 15%.
Now it gets really exciting.
If you're going to reach the other 85%, every one of you needs to see yourselves as a missionary on mission. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So let's get out of the church and into the community. And here's the great news. You're actually already there. Just be radically present there. Just be aware that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you. So let him out. Let him out. And let the fullness of the transformed life within you be contagious in the places where you work, the places where you go to school, the places where you live. Last year I joined a gym, and every once in a while I want something called sanctified selfishness. You know, I just want my space and don't want anybody to kind of bother me. And so I thought I'll go to the gym and I'll just kind of lock myself in on the treadmill and just kind of have my own cool time. And as I'm running on the treadmill one day, God says to me, "So, are you on mission right now?" And I said, "Not really, I'm kind of running. This is kind of my selfish time." And God just convicted me and said, "David, you're always on mission. Open your eyes." And I looked out and realized I was in this gym with over 150 people, and I was the only Caucasian in the whole gym. The nations of the world were there. And so God says to me, "What are you going to do about that?" And I said, "I don't know. You know when God really has you? Your voice cracks?" Yeah. I said, "I don't know." And he said, "How about you talk to Matthew, who was the young man that introduced me to the gym?" And I said, "What do you want me to say to him?" And God was so specific. He said, "David, why don't you give him the first 10 minutes of your run to pray for him?" I said, "God, I'd be thrilled to do that." And then God said, "And now go tell him." I said, "Can't we just keep this between us?" "Go tell him." So I got off the treadmill, and Matthew was one of these big bodybuilder kind of guys, you know, kind of intimidating. And I walked over and I said, "Hi, Matthew, how you doing?" He said, "How you enjoying the gym, Dave?" "Oh, the gym's great, everything's great." I said, "Hey, Matthew, I need to let you know something. I'm a man of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ actually can transform someone's life. And I don't want to freak you out, but I want you to know that the first 10 minutes I'm on the treadmill, I'm praying for you." And it was amazing. He did one of these, "Whoa." I can still remember. It was like he took an actual step back. "Whoa." And then he said, "Really? For me? That's awesome." And so, when I was going to the gym, I'd come in and he'd see me and I'd go like this and he'd go like this. You know, there we are. Be present. The dynamic reality is everywhere you go, hallelujah, you are on mission for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do not stand down, church. Be Christ-centered. Be Spirit-empowered. Hallelujah. Be on mission for the glory of God. That's us. I'm going to invite you to stand. There is a revival in Cuba that is absolutely out of control. It's phenomenal. 5 years ago, some of our Alliance pastors got together and began to pray. And they started a prayer movement that now has people praying every hour of every day of the year. Unbelievable. And last year, God broke in a dynamic way. And Angus and I were part of the very first prayer retreat that was sanctioned by a communist government. And over 30 different denominations showed up with over 450 spiritual leaders. And the power of God broke in. And these denominations had been fighting with each other over the years. And so as part of this coming together, there was this moment of radical repentance. And the way it was demonstrated is they began to wash one another's feet spontaneously. And they sobbed. And they apologized. And they repented. And as the power of God descended upon them, they stood up from that moment and they began to chant over and over again in Spanish, "Christ for Cuba, Cuba for the nations." Hey, that's amazing. Christ for Cuba, Cuba for the nations. This year, they're hoping to send out their very first missionaries from Cuba. And they're going to send them to the Arab nations. Is that amazing? And they may not go out under any denominational name. They may just go out as missionaries from Cuba to the world. That is God on the move. The last night we were there, some of our pastors gathered around us. And one of them cupped his hands like this and he said, David, in my hands, I carry the flame of revival that has come to Cuba. And he said, I want you to cup your hands. And so I did it the same as he did it. And then he said, I want you to walk towards me. And I walked towards him and he symbolically took the flame that was in his hands from Cuba and the spiritual renewal. And he put it inside my cupped hands. And he said, oh, David, take it back to Canada. They need this. So cup your hands from your brothers and sisters in Cuba. They want to give you a flame. They want to give you the flame of the Spirit. They want to call down a fresh empowering of God's Spirit upon you. So North Shore Alliance Church, I love you. You're my family. Oh, receive the flame. Receive the flame. May there be a new baptism of fire upon this congregation. And as John the Baptist said, yes, I must decrease so that he may increase. Because I baptize with water, but there's one who is coming who will baptize with the Spirit and with fire. Breathe on us for your glory. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Pastor Mark has asked me to bless you as we leave this morning, so receive this blessing, church. Through this blessing this morning, I just want to remind you how the Father who sends you out thinks about you and feels about you. I'm paraphrasing the words of the Father to His Son on the day of His baptism, recorded in Mark chapter 1. All of you who know Jesus, this is what the Father thinks of you. And how he feels about you. And he says to each of you, his children today, you are my daughter. You are my son. This is the blessing of identity. Of all the things that are true about you, this is truest. You are my daughter. You are my son, whom I love. This is the blessing of eternal affection. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This is the blessing of his approval over your life given to him. He says to you, you are my child, whom I love.
Hallelujah.
With you I am well pleased. Will you receive this blessing? Say yes out loud if you actually want it.
Yes.
Will you receive this blessing?
Yes.
So be it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey.
God bless you. Go in His